the Spirit. Let's talk about the Spirit, but first let's discuss it in both languages. What is it in the Greek? In the Greek, it is pneuma. You know, like you have a pneumatic pump or a tire, and you blow it up. Well, pneuma means to breathe, the breath, or to blow, exhale. Right? What is it in the Hebrew? Ruach, which means spirit. But what does it mean being translated rather than transliterated? It means to blow. Right? It means to breathe. It means air. Our Father calls it the breath of life. I've had quite an experience this past week teaching in the book of Revelation, teaching to an audience that are from day one to students of years. And when we go to the millennium, where we're all instantly changed into the inner man, that is to say the spiritual body, and we put off these flesh bodies, believe me, that's going to be a very pleasant thing, because there are no hang-ups in the spiritual body. Now, naturally, then we have the soul to deal with. What's the soul? I like to translate it, regardless of what language, as self. Regardless of which body you're in, whether it's flesh or spiritual, you still have the same soul. But then you have this spirit, this pneuma. What is it? How does it best translate? Well, Christ would say in, what was it, St. John chapter 13, "My spirit is troubled because one of you here is going to betray me." And of course, he was speaking of Judas. But I want you to catch the fact that the spirit is also our intellect. God is full of wisdom. In other words, your spirit is your thought process. I can take my spirit today and I hopefully expound and bring good. I mean, your spirit can be good, or, on the other hand, it could be grouchy and grumpy as all get out. Do you know what that does to other people when you expound that? Well, ask Anna sometime. No, seriously, you kind of set the air that is around you, because your spirit must take up its own space. And don't go out in boom boom land on me here now, okay? We're talking just generally, but yet there's a lot of truth in that. You can be a person that's easy to get along with, or you can really ruin somebody's day. Now, as a teacher, you have to utilize that as a method of teaching, as an example. We would say, let's take a figure of speech here for a moment. There is a different wind blowing in our nation. Do you see how, you know, that has been of long ago still carries over? Because wind is spirit, and it is a different spirit that blows in our nation. Blows even down to the wind, all right? Or you can take your breath, as Paul would use where? In 1 Corinthians 14. And with your breath, you can blow a horn. This has to do with tongue. And it can either make a tune, or it can be an awful racket. Okay? It's according to people's taste. But music, from the reed, can lift people. The same as your spirit and presence can lift people. It is our intellect. Now, many people, all of us have bad days. We can succeed, or we can fail. And I think, inasmuch as we have newlyweds here, I might as well just give a little pastoral lecture here on getting along. But it's not just for them. They're going to get along fine. It's the rest of you I'm worried about. You know, it's so let's talk about using our spirit. Now, first of all, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that. But I'm talking about you as an individual. Your spirit. Let's see if I can get this to write. Now, for the tape audience, I'm drawing on the board an arch that is a path, an arch path, or I might say an arch shaped or two lines shaped like a rainbow. And I call that the path of communication, the path of getting along. Now, it's up to you. Do people like you? Well, I hope so. But usually, whether they like you or not depends on what you're doing, what kind of person you are. It's just common sense that if you come up to someone and in your best English say, "How do you do?" And an intelligent person looks back at you and says, "How do I do what?" Okay. A linguist would say that. All right. It doesn't really say a whole lot. But you have the person that would say, "Oh, I need to talk to you bad. Have you got 30 minutes? I'm the saddest wreck you've ever seen in your life. Could you spare me a moment?" Yeah. Well, now, there are times people need help. But don't be that way. Don't let your spirit, don't carry that spirit of trouble. Because what does that make you? I mean, well, we're talking intelligence here. Your spirit is your intellect. If you're always trouble everywhere you go, what is your spirit? It's a troubled spirit. Is that comforting? Hardly. Now, when we love someone, naturally, we can handle a troubled spirit because we love the person. But if they listen to sound advice from our Father, they're going to come out of that. Okay, we're going to get right down to where the rubber meets the road. Let's see, we're going to... You know, you can get in trouble using people's names, all right? So I'm going to use from the old song, John and Marcia, all right, that has nothing to do with anybody living or passed on or whatever. But we got John and Marcia. Let's see now, what will we do? John has had a bad day at work. Foreman stuck him on the dirtiest job on the crew. His clothes are a mess. Now, meanwhile, back home, Marcia purchased a little light coat not too long ago because it was so pretty, and she's discovered it's not going to cut the mustard. It's not warm enough, so she's going to have to buy her a new coat with the nice furry trim, you know, here. Oh, expensive little item. And she's going to have to talk John into that, you know. Now, what can she do? How can she handle that? Well, you have to keep John within the path of communication. In other words, Marcia says when John walks through the door, "I love you, John. I can tell you've had a hard day, but you still look like my man." Well, John, naturally, is he going to disagree with that? Ain't no way. John is going to say, "Yes, dear, I am your man, all right? And you're my old sweetie pie." Now, we've agreed, all right? We're within the path of communication. And quite frankly, when you lose that path, you're out, all right? It's all over. As bad as she wants that coat, if Marcia isn't careful, she looks over and looks at his clothes. It's a mess. Right? Now, if she were to say, "John, I slave like a slave over washing machines. Look what a filthy mess you are." Now, John's already had a hard day because he's been thinking, "They're taking advantage of me, getting me on this dirtiest job I've had all day." And he comes in and she hits him with that. Hey, Wait, I got it mixed up, didn't I? Okay, well, let the red be John because he's seeing red. All right? Yeah. I mean, he's already ready to just come down on the foreman with all of his might. And she makes a statement like that as if he had a choice of whether his clothes were dirty or not. Aren't y'all enjoying this? You didn't know you were going to get this from me today, the real Bible lesson here, all right? So, you don't do that, see? Not when you want a new coat. So, what she does, and I'm going to let her be blue now. She says, John, I feel sorry for you having to push that old walking mower. It's hot, and, you know, you're not getting any younger, and you're tired when you come in from work. I think we should get you a brand new riding mower. You know, she takes him to right here. And now she didn't make the statement about the clothes, so we can erase that, though I don't have an eraser, so you'll have to use your imagination. When she mentions a new riding mower, his heart jumps and, yes, dear. I think that's an excellent idea. I think it's wonderful. And you see, she stayed within the confounds of communication. And she's somebody that knows how to get along. This life is full of give and take. That's what getting along is. You can't have everything all your way. It just doesn't work that way. So if you love someone, they might even have a few little qualities that are, well, like they stomp their foot when they come in the door pretty loud. And you just can't seem to break them from that. So accept it and say, I got me a foot stomper. Everybody ought to have one, you know, okay? You got to get used to everybody's little syncrasies, I'll call them, okay? But, I mean, we're going like 60 here, but she still hasn't mentioned her coat. But then she's got him coming her way. You know, hey, I've always wanted, man, I can get out there. Not that I'm a person that likes to show off to the neighbors, but man, now I can crank up that new John Deere and phew, boy, I'm here and I'm there. I'm mowing my lawn, see? And then she says, oh, by the way, John, you know, I'm afraid this new coat I just purchased is going to be too light, and I would really, before winter's coming on, I can get it on special. And I love you so much, I knew it would probably be all right if I asked, what do you think? Well, it's on sale, and here she goes, that I buy this new coat. Well, now, if she had dropped old John back here, the coat would be out the window, you see. But John, loving Marcia the way he does, I mean, after all, he's going to get a new mower. And that woman is so concerned for him. She knows that it's hot out there. You push that mower in your old heart, the old ticker. That woman loves me. She should have whatever she wants. I mean, when you love somebody that way, what's a little old coat? So, he says, let's think about it. And I see that kind of took off the edge, but he stayed within the point of communication. And then, don't ever forget, she said, John, I am so fortunate that I have married such a wise man, such an old sweetie pie that understands me and I understand him. And he says, yes, Marcia, I love you too. So, isn't that a little interesting story? You know, nobody ever gives me a hand. Do I deserve a hand for that? Okay? I mean, you make something up like that as you go along, and hey, I think it turned out pretty well. But listen, that works in seed planting, counseling, anything you go at in your life, you must never break that arch. Once you let somebody's mind fall out of that, it's all over as far as an agreement being reached. So take your spirit and use it to be fair. Well, I can shorten that simply by saying the way Christ taught us to, you know? And you're going to get along. There are going to be times that, hey, it's going to fall out of the circle. But that's all right. There's tomorrow. Or I like to never be unhappy with somebody a full day. I like to get it worked out then, if it's possible. But that's the way it's done. You can plant a seed. You take a new person up here. And right away they say, are you saved? And you follow them up and say, you know there's key nights? What's key nights? Whoa, you know, you got to kind of keep them in the path of communication because not everybody speaks Hebrew or has studied Hebrew, and it takes a little bit of time to learn. That's Sons of Cain. Okay? So you use that and you exert your spirit on others. It can be good or it can be bad. Always remember, none of us are perfect. And if your loved one ever needed you, it's at a time when you're down, all right? And always remember that. Be gracious, be understanding. Because everybody, be able to feel, especially your mate's pain. Nobody else is going to all that much. But that's what you have each other for. And alleviate that pain so that you're both back up in the path of communication and happiness. It's essential to life, all right? Now, let's go to the supernatural, if we may, for a moment. And let's talk about our Father's Spirit. Our Father's Spirit is also intellect in a supernatural way. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, knowledge, especially when we study this letter that our Father has written to us. We can understand, as an example, where the dead are. They're not out here in a hole in the ground. As it is written, instantly that spiritual body steps out of this flesh body and returns to the Father that gave it. He loves His children. He is very possessive of His children. And you happen to be one, sinner or saint, I don't care. You're still His child. And He utilizes that spirit. His intellect and all wisdom comes from Him. Understanding prophecy, you know what, especially in this generation, is about to happen. So it gives you a very edge on what tomorrow brings. You kind of know where to work, where not to work, and where to plan your future that you're in prospering rather than something you know is going out according to God's Word. Because for me, it always happens. I found it happens exactly as He has written it. So, He really wants to share His intellect, His Holy Spirit. I hope this offends no one that I'm calling the Holy Spirit our intellect, because it's true. It's the best, the wisest part of you was delivered from our Father through the Holy Spirit, which makes you a good person, makes you want to do what's right. Sometimes we don't, but it makes you want to. But do you know that He has promised that He will just pour that out on you if you ask? Talk about getting along down here on earth. It's so easy, you know, and yet at the same time, because there are stubborn people, not talking about you now, but stubborn people that you live with, you know, that are very hard to get along with. You know, you have to really be super nice. So, a little bit of super nice might throw you back just about in the middle. You know, because sometimes we don't scrutinize ourselves as closely as we do others, you know. Our habits, our little syncrasies, Okay? We just really are easy on ourselves. And you can be a real terror to live with. All right? But always let love overcomes a lot of things. A few good deeds overcomes a multitude of sins. All right? So, your Father has promised you, and one of the most valuable things of thanksgiving you have are those promises that He has made, because if you're a believer, they are true. He means it. So, when Jesus would say, I can tell by my spirit, my intellect, one of you is going to betray me. That supernatural intellect, He wants to share it with you. The Father told you this long ago. What do you need? It's in God's Word. The promises that He makes. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, if we may. The book of Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 44. Excuse me. And let's document that He has said, I will pour this out on you. Now, our Father doesn't do something halfway. If you are sincere, and if you want peace and you want happiness, ask for it. And then gain the wisdom from His Word. And I guarantee you, everyone, you don't care whether everyone likes you or not, but those that should like you will, all right? And your enemies will at least respect you, all right? Because you're fair and you're just. Isaiah chapter 44, let's go to the promise that God would pour out His Spirit. And it reads, verse 1, Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Anyone that have ears to hear or knows God's Word, Christian even, if you would, we can add that to it. Thus saith the Lord that made thee. Therefore, He's your real Father. Do you understand that? Yeah, you've got an earthly father. But the Father that really created your soul and your nearest kin is Almighty God. That's why He loves you so much. That's why He does not hate you. That's why He is willing to look out for you, to help your spirit. Saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. Kind of shaped you through your life even, and you may even be ignorant of it. But He had a lot to do with it. Which will help thee. He'll do what? He will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, for thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Now, Jeshurun is not really a person, all right? They transliterated it rather than to translate it. It means extremely happy. You extremely happy one. It's still the same being. And the only way you're going to find extreme happiness is to be in the Father. Your own Father. I'm talking about your Heavenly Father that formed and gave. I'm not going to say gave birth. That would be incorrect. But formed your very being. He is your Father. Have you ever known a father that didn't care something about his children? Of course. He loves his children. Your Heavenly Father is perfect, so He all the more loves His children and He keeps His promises. Verse 3, For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That's a figure of speech, a Hebraism that means, if you need health, I'll give you that. If you need finances? Well, work with me and use my wisdom and you'll have those as well. You won't be watching your checkbook like you were going to overwrite every payday. Okay? Use common sense. He says, if you're thirsty for something, and that means anything that is promised in His Word, and floods that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. In other words, He owns everything, beloved. And it's His promise. Now, this is not idle talk. It's His promise. I will pour my spirit, Ruach, in the Hebrew tongue. My wisdom, I will pour upon thy seed, that's your children, and my blessings upon thine offspring. That's why we're such a great nation today. In God we trust. though we have a lot around us that are biblically illiterate. Well, maybe that's not all their fault. Maybe they've never had an opportunity to study under a teacher of the languages, because the only place you're going to get it is in the manuscripts. And a teacher that will help you in English to break back to those deeper truths that are so simple in our Father's Word. His promise to you. Quite frankly, a little church in Northwest Arkansas that now goes around the world in 14 years from a little handful of people that is growing now into the thousands and a budget of millions and millions of dollars every year. Does that happen? Ask somebody. Ask some little church. And they would probably tell you, no way. Well, look here. I say yes. Because He has. Why? Because we serve Him. And we teach His Word, not ours. Okay? He promised it. We claimed it. And He has kept His end of the bargain. That's the only reason I mention it. Plus, plus, plus. I mean, He has kept His end of the bargain so much that I never cease to be amazed at the expansion that He gives us into the hearts of people and the means to do that expanding with. It proves God is what I'm telling you. Why? Because we believe Him. He said it. Now, many people would say, well, if that's true, I want to be president tomorrow of GMC, General Motors. And you don't even know how to change a tire. Dreamer. That's foolish. God only furnishes the brick. You do the building. You got that? A lot of people misunderstand that. I want a miracle. You've already got a miracle. You have a Father that owns everything. And if you'll get off of your chair and use these occasionally, you'll have what you want. If you'll use this foremost, is where your spirit comes from, is to say your intellect. You can do whatever you want to with Him helping you. As long as it's in His will, yes. Don't call that a cop-out. Some of you have a destiny, and I don't care what you try to do somewhere else. He's going to head you back somewhere else because He has a purpose for you. But that is a promise. I will pour out My Spirit. Now, you take someone that's got enough common sense. I mean, like this little sweet lady wants a coat. Husband is tired and greasy. And she's going to talk him into allowing her to buy a new coat before that day is over? Hey, no problem. She used her spirit. She gave him more than she got herself, let's say, or whatever. But everybody's happy, and that's what's important. You see, now, add God's Spirit to that, giving you the knowledge and the intellect of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Put the Holy Spirit within yourself and think what kind of a person that makes you. Not somebody on an ego trip, but someone that can give very good advice. Someone that can accomplish what God would have them accomplish. In other words, my kind of person, and that is to say a can-do type person. Quite frankly, that's the only kind of people I like to have anything to do with, is can-do type people. Wonderful idea, and you've backed it up, you know, scripturally it's correct, it's not going to offend anyone. And you say, hey, and it doesn't hurt for input, I'm not knocking that. But you have one person, you always get around the conference table, that you always get the same thing, same answer from. Where are you going to get the money? You know, or it ain't going to work. Well, with a spirit like that, my friend, now again, some of us need a governor. You know what I mean? Somebody to throw an anchor out every once in a while, or we just kind of fly off into, you know, too much expectancy. I'm not knocking good advice, but watch a negative spirit. That's not from God. In other words, rather than saying, it ain't gonna work, explain why it won't. Give me answers, reasons, intellect, and I'll listen. All right? In other words, don't be negative for the sake of being negative. Am I getting across? I think so. I think that, in other words, being negative against a thought is not bad. If you have a reason, if you have the wisdom to see why it isn't going to work, and then be positive and fix it. Go a different way. All right? Form an alternate. Make it work. Can do type people. Now, that's not the only promise that our Father has given us. How about peace and security? Do you know, security, by that I mean safety. Do you know that He promised you that in the Spirit as well? Go to Isaiah 32 while we're in here. Isaiah chapter 32. Peace and safety. Kind of that's what we, excuse me, that's kind of what we all want. Let's pick it up with verse 15, if we may. There's been really a tough time. God's children have really had hard problems, and this is what He says to them. 15, until, has your life been on hold until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness, that's the world, be a fruitful field. Is it fruitful for you? Or do you lose out in the world? Are you always a loser? Or does it produce, or your, does your work produce fruit? Think about it. Wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Lots of it. 16. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness. That's the world. Do you know what judgment is? That's fairness. All right? And righteousness remain in the fruitful field. If you stay within those bounds of communication in your family and you get it working for you, never get to the point where you say, I've peaked out. I have reached my potential. Oh, who told you? Well, I don't know. I just feel that way. Well, then you're getting a bad spirit. Don't ever stand still. When you stand still, fruitfulness just passes you right on by, like you standing beside the road and a Greyhound bus goes by at 70 miles an hour. Now, of course, some of us are up at the age where we can almost say that because, you know, that's all we can do. But be that as it may, spiritually not so, though. God expects maturity. He calls these whorehairs, the gray hairs in the Hebrew, or wisdom, or they symbolize wisdom. Now, wait, no, Arnold, don't. Don't, no. Of course, John, I did not look at you, okay? Oh, but gray hair and time is wisdom. Of course, now that I said that, you know, sometimes wisdom, I mean, age also causes us to be a little bald. But God has a special little saying in a special book, not this one. Okay, that's what I'm telling you. He says, God is gracious, God is fair. To some men He gives brains, and to others hair. Okay, so, touche? Okay. But maturity, or being an elder, if you have utilized it properly, male or female, you can be very helpful to your family by sharing that wisdom that you have gained from the school of being kicked out of the ballpark. By that I mean the two lines on the board of not communicating. You cannot get along if you do not communicate. And to communicate, you must stay within the path of reason. In other words, you must be reasonable. And love is the best binder that reason ever had. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wrap love around your family. And that binds reason tighter and closer in your hearts and your minds than anything else. Okay, now, 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. You want peace? That's what brings it. Right? His Spirit poured out, and then that brings peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Do you know what assurance is? It's not to worry. That's surety. That's a guarantee. Your Father makes you that promise. Now, do I want to use this ministry as an example again? Yeah, I will. Surety can even be said financial. Do you ever have to worry financially? No. I know God's going to provide it. From where? I don't know. I just know that if it's right and we have followed His plan, that it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. And we could be one of these ministries that say, I have the faith of a mountain. We'll just on faith step out there and do this. Well, God doesn't really quite like you to work that way all the time. Okay? A good businessman doesn't do that. But one of the main things with ministries that will step out and say, run, go in debt. Any ministry that will go in debt does not have a wise leader, board, or whatever. Because if God, remember what I said, if God wants you to do something, He'll give you the bricks and you do the work. But I have seen it, people wanting to buy time, and they'll say, well, I don't have the money now, but I'm good enough, I know it'll bring it in. Okay? I'm good enough. Wrong word to this boy. God is good enough. All right? Okay. What I'm telling you is, God will give you that surety that not only will you have peace, but you will have plenty. Now, plenty for some is different things. What plenty for me is a pan of beans, cornbread on Sunday night. That's my regular supper, okay? Cornbread and beans, a glass of milk, and if I want to splurge, I only fill that glass about that full of milk and then the rest with half and half. You know? Now, that's what you call a rich depression boy. Anytime he can afford half and half for his cornbread and sweet milk, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? Man, hey, if you can do that, you're something, all right? Anyway, some people are happy with having enough. That's security, and it is. That's all you need. Everything above that is something to worry about. Hey, I've been there. Don't look at me real funny. I've been there. It's true. You're going to spend most of your time worrying about who's going to beat you out of it, all right? Or where you're going to mess up. And if you've got just the right amount, you don't worry about it, and you live like a king. Okay? You see what I'm saying? God will give you surety, which is security, and rest. What's that promise? Peace of mind. None of this, oh, the first of the month's coming. Ooh, and I got to do this. Relax. Relax. Never let them see you sweat on your first cruise, all right? God promises. Talk to Him and say, Father, count me in. I love you, but you got to mean it. I love you, Father, and I need help. I need peace. I need surety. Show me how in your word. I'll study it. He will guide you. It is His promise, and He never breaks one. Never. Okay, 18. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. That's a peaceful house. None of this, I'll wash them clothes in that old washing machine. I'm over it 4 hours a day, and you bring them filthy clothes in here. That's not peaceable. All right? Peaceable habitation and ensure. That means secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. And the best way to rest quiet at night is to have your house gun, a 12-gauge shotgun, double-aught buckshot, well out of reach, you know. So that if somebody comes tearing down a door, you're secure. But the burglar has got problems. Okay, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I may really have lost somebody clear out of the ballpark. Protect your home, all right? Protect your home. It's very godly. That's what God says to do. And protect your loved ones, all right? That's godly, all right? But a lot of people say, I'd just rather they went ahead and killed one of mine. Well, you're a fool if you would say that. If you would say that you would rather a burglar broke in and killed one of your loved ones, you're an idiot. You're not fit for anything. If you're no more man than that, you know, I had a BBC ask for a clip of my teaching. And I thought, well, what is it? We finally told them, yeah, we'll give you the copyright if you'll tell us what it is you want out of my teaching. And it was a little sermon on if a man would allow a man to break into his house and rape his wife in front of him, would he say, God forgive him? And my statement was, no, a good Christian would kick his teeth out. The British loved that, you know. But a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And if you love somebody, you're going to protect them. God loves you. He's going to protect you and He's going to give you the knowledge to keep peace in your home. I hope you understand what I'm saying. God can give you peace, but you can blow it by not using common sense. That is to say, take adequate precaution in dangerous places. Only a fool would not do that, would not take precautions. Right? So, be wise. After all, that's what the Spirit does for you, and you will have rest in those places. Those of you that might have read the 19th verse and say, wow, that sounds out of place. Well, it is. It belongs back up after verse 14, okay? In the manuscripts, it is. Just things get kind of shuffled around. But be that as it may. Now, what else did he promise? There we are, and we have peace and security. How about bringing us rest? Did he promise us that? It was kind of included there. Let's go to Isaiah 63 real quickly. Isaiah 63. Verse 11. Do you know that it does you good occasionally to meditate back on your life? And I'm not talking about just your life, but the history of our people. Okay? Like what God did for Moses and those people. It was a lot. Okay? Parted the Red Sea. Fed a manna from heaven, so forth. Verse 11 of that 63rd chapter. Then he remembered, that's to say our people, remembered the days of old Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Have you ever asked that question? Where's God? It's easy sometimes when you get depressed to ask that. 12. That led them by the right hand of Moses and his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. That's the restoration of his salvation. That led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness. That's the world. That they should not stumble. Your Father does not want you to stumble. If you ever think for a moment God is mean, you've got a misconception, friend. That's just not true. You've listened to traditions of men rather than the Word of God. He does not want His little ones to stumble. As a beast goeth down, that's to say like cattle or deer or sheep, into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest, so didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold from thy habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength and the sounding of thy bowels? From within, it means, and of thy mercies toward me. Are they restrained? Not if you ask for them, my friend, but you've got to be bold enough to step forward. He never made a promise that He would pour out unless you ask. You've got to ask. Can you blame Him? I think not. And usually, remembering what we know in our little spiritual, it doesn't hurt to say, I love you, Father. You created my soul. It's yours. I'm your child. Use me. I love you very much. I need your help. Don't think He's going to deny you. And be patient with Him and work at it. It will happen. But don't be like the guy that didn't even know how to change a tire and want to take over General Motors in one night. You know, that's not common sense, all right? You know what your capabilities are. I might say in closing, and be thankful that your Father, through His Son, only begotten, paid the price that when you ask for that Holy Spirit, as it is written in the 14th chapter of St. John, that after He returned to the Father, that He would send that Comforter. When you're uncomfortable, ask for the Comforter. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Don't do without. And don't think you're all alone. You're not. You are His child. I don't care what race, color, or creed you are. God is the Father of your soul. And He loves you. I don't care if you're a sinner. He still loves you. But He sure doesn't like what we do sometimes. Okay? So, sometimes in the Psalms 143, in closing, when you look back at old David, some of the troubles, and sometimes it seems like we have that kind of troubles in trying to help people and then be rebuked for it and so forth, that it takes a little extra to know that you're not the first one it happened to, all right? You're not a unique case that got your little old feelings hurt. So, remember 143, Psalms 143. Let's just read it without too much comment. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In other words, I'm asking you, please give ear. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, of course, answer me. 2, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. In other words, we all fall short and we all do wrong. Even Paul himself would say, I start out to do right and it seems like ultimately I end up doing exactly what I don't want to do. Well, repent and go on. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. In other words, nobody can even remember anymore, and it seems like they make me live in darkness. In the first place, now Christ has given us power over all of our enemies. You don't have to put up with that kind of stuff, okay? That's another one of the promises, and when you use His Spirit, you don't have to put up with that kind of spirit. You can order it out. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. I'm dazed. That's what it means in the Hebrew. My heart within me is desolate. In other words, I'm depressed. Don't get that way, friend. But if you are, do you know who your best counselor is? Him. Just like David. Go to Him with it. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I talk to myself about you, God. Do you ever do that, friend? It's the best time you can spend when you're confused, is to look at your Father's past record and then start claiming some of it for yourself. You see, you're not nobody. To Him, you're somebody. You're His child, and He does care. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. And Selah is a pause in the song that connects this prayer with a continued prayer. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Does your spirit ever fail? Don't let it. But you're going to have days that your spirit will be a little low. Hey, if you notice your loved one's spirit a little bit low, tell them you love them. Patch it up. Pump it up with Pneuma, your spirit. It makes tigers out of wimps for a man's woman to say, "You're my man." He may be nothing but a wimp, a noodle. And she says, "You're the man of my life. You can do anything." You know what? He'll begin to, the pneuma, like you pumped up a tire, he'll start car. We Southerners have trouble with casings, okay? Tire, like pumping up an inner tube. Okay. You'll see his height start to extend, and he will be exactly what you want him to be. Because, after all, your mate is important. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to lose. You don't have to, beloved. That's the last thing in the world God wants for you. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. You've got to mean it, though, beloved. Trust Him. You'll have trouble trusting men because men will let you down. But you can always trust Him. And they may not intend to. Do you understand what I'm saying? But in Him you find perfection. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. I lift up myself unto thee. Cause me to know where to walk. If I get too close to this curve of falling out of reason, I'm the loser. Not the other party. I'm the loser. Or if you allow the other party to fall out of the curve, you're still the loser. In other words, two are one. So both lose. Stay within the realm of common sense. And if you have trouble maintaining that, pray to God, repent, and reason together. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. God always has big arms, okay? And He says, "Come to me, child." I don't like for anybody to run away from anything, unless it's real, real dangerous. I don't like to see anybody quit until they're successful, even if it means having to go a different direction. I don't like quitters. God doesn't care all that much for them. And it may take a long time. And it may take a lot of revamping. But don't quit. Don't give up. You're somebody special. You're a child of God. Teach me to do thy will. Boy, if you ever saw anything that'll make you successful, do you know what God's will is? It's His plan right here. It's so easy, so simple, that most of the people of the world can't even comprehend it. Or some revolving rev will confuse it to the point that it doesn't make sense or makes it look silly. A revolving rev is a rev that takes one verse like Russian roulette and then you never know which direction he's going to revolve in, you know. Pretty soon he's talking about great-grandma and something else and forgot about God's Word. Ask and study God's way, not man's way, not this man or any other man. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, Yahweh, my Father. That's what it means. Thy spirit is good. And don't you ever forget it, beloved. His spirit is always good for you. Even if he's going against you, and he's got the two before out, and he has just whacked you a good one, you say, "Thank you, Lord, I needed it." All right? Because he knows what he's doing. All right? quicken me. That means makes me alive, make me vivacious. O Lord, for Thy name's sake, for Thy righteous sake, bring my soul out of trouble. He will always do it. Bring myself out of trouble. You ever get in trouble? Here's the one to turn to. He can cut it. He can do it. And of Thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am Thy servant. Don't forget that. I don't care what our position is, whether we're deacon, elder, or whatever. We're all servants. As the mates are one, so are we one in that body. We are His servants. And think of His will that needs to be done. Do you know something? He is an individual, our Father I'm speaking of, that has billions of children. And He has entrusted you with a spirit, your own. And He's hoping, as His servant, that you will help some of those. Well, how do you do that? By being knowledgeable in His Word. Before you can teach or even plant seeds, you got to know what it is you're supposed to plant. Your neighbor may be wanting tulips to grow there, and you go over and help him out and plant onions in there, it's going to look bad. And you weren't very helpful, all right? Be familiar with your Father's Word, whereby you're not biblically illiterate. Because of all things you need is to know what pleases your Father so that He shares His Spirit with you. Until then, He's not going to. You've got to work at it. You've got to talk to Him. I don't mean 24 hours a day or become a religious fanatic. That's nonsense. That's crazy. Stand on the corner and pass out leaflets. Are you saved? You know, that turns more unbelievers away from our Father. Because that is like a diapered baby out there in God's Word that's not even potty trained yet. You have to approach people with logic and common sense and know what you're doing. Okay? God's Spirit does that for you. His intellect. If ever we had anything to be thankful for, it's that He has given us eyes to see and ears to hear His Word, His plan. Are we perfect and do we know everything? Of course not. Our Father does know everything, though. That's why we can trust Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of serving You. Father, be with us. Watch over. Send that Spirit, Father, that brings that rest, that aid, that security. Grant us that wisdom and knowledge that allows us, not for our benefit, totally, but that we may be a blessing to others. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.